Well, team, today I have the absolute pleasure of having Ty Cueva on the podcast. Not only is he the developer of one of the biggest auctions that I've ever been in part of, which is 10697 Soma Way. Our bidding to start from is $30 million. This is absolute real estate royalty when it comes to not only Los Angeles, but the entire world. The property that we're going to take you through today is that Ty is not only the listing agent, he's not only a Harcourts agent, he's also the business owner of our new franchise in Santa Monica, which is Harcourts Westside Property Group. And he is the key developer and the person that's behind this project. We dive into it a little bit further. And certainly I need to encourage you that this is very, very thin air at this price point. Whether it's, you know, anywhere that you've ever been, this is very rarefied air. And this property blew my mind. We're looking forward to taking it through our non-distressed auction process. Hope you enjoy the episode.
Welcome to Rethink Real Estate. My name is Ben Brady, and this is a real estate podcast aimed to deliver sales strategies, marketing tips, and business insights from industry experts and myself to build a listing-focused business for the future. Let's get into it.
Ty, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on Rethink Real Estate.
Thank you very much, Ben. Glad to be here.
So, Ty, you and I have been colleagues now for a short period of time, I would say, as far as, you know, relationships go. But at the same point in time, I think that we're in a bit of a relationship where, you know, we've dated, the honeymoon period's fully there, and then all of a sudden, man, we're hitched. We're like the wedding is, you know, moments away. And I'm referring to Soma Way, the property that's going to be going live as an option.
That's a relief, but that's good. Anyway, yes, absolutely.
That's right. I think that the thing that I'm really excited about when it comes to not only the opportunity that we all have is, you know, another good business partnership within the network, everything along those lines, but just the cut to the chase here, you know, this property that we're talking about, which is for those that need a reference point, 10697 Soma Way. It's just at the back of, you know, very, very close to the Bel Air Hotel. This is an iconic area of real estate and it's an iconic opportunity from not only a development standpoint. And Ty, the best part about this that I think is that not only do we get to talk to you, who's the person who's the lead developer in all of this and has been, you know, the person behind the entire project, all the way now to the listing agent.
There's a lot of people behind this project, though. Let me tell you.
Well, let's start with that.
Cut you off, but yes.
No. You, mate, you go for it.
The one thing that's interesting that you just said, Ben, is that, you know, the location, right? We're one stop sign, the first stop sign past the hotel, right? And then you make a left, you come up Soma Way. And you get to the end of the public road, right? And you make a right, and then there's a private Soma. So there's a public Soma, then there's a private Soma, and there's four houses up here. And we have what I would call location on top of location. Does that make sense?
Like, yes, so it does.
We're the first stop sign past the hotel, but our house, our home, is actually the last home on top of the private Soma. So we have the vantage point of the best view on Soma on top of the street. So we're on top of Soma, if that makes sense.
Well, for people that don't understand what we're talking about here, is that there's a common association with, you know, really high end $50 million+ homes where it's, oh no, it's the Hollywood Hills. It's just like for somebody that doesn't know the area, they just say it's the Hollywood Hills. Now, I want to be absolutely, it's like for the first time I went into Laguna Beach and people are like, oh, you know, you've got to go up and have a look at the views at Laguna. It is a death trap getting up to the properties in Laguna Beach. To go up to the Hollywood Hills, it is a death trap. Like these, you can't, people, like you're buying a $20, $30, $40, $50, $100 million home that essentially you have to get your Lamborghini helicoptered down to Sunset Drive to do it. Where Soma, it's so convenient.
Right. Well, Hollywood Hills, this is for a comparison standpoint. You go up to, let's say, Blue Jay Way. By the time you get up to Blue Jay Way, you spent 10, 15 minutes and you made 25 rights and, you know, you're finally up there, but you get up there, but it takes a long time because of our proximity. First of all, in Bel Air, the Hotel Bel Air is the center of the universe. Okay. So from this house, you can walk to the Hotel Bel Air, right? This is not a 20, this is not a 10, 15 minute drive. No, the Hotel Bel Air is very close to Sunset. And then if you could just imagine, you make a left off Sunset, you come up Stone Canyon, you hit the hotel. Well, the first stop sign past the hotel is Soma Way. And we have right there, you make a left and you're basically at our house. You come up the hill and we're right there. It's a very quick to get to.
And that was my first surprise, like having some experience in the Hollywood Hills, having some experience in the Bird Streets. That was the one thing I was incredibly surprised at, is that literally you can ask Callista when we're driving up to the driveway. I'm like, oh, we're here.
Oh, nice surprise.
Yeah, exactly right. So walk me through it. How did you guys get to the point? Like, I know that it's taken, you know, a complete, it's taken a village in order to build this. And quite literally, it is the size of a village. But, you know, with 41,000 square feet, you need a big lot, and then you need some big cojones in order to build on the lot as well. How did you guys find the lot? How did you acquire the lot? How did this come to be, Ty?
The journey, it's been one, right? That's a really good question. So I'm more of a commercial person, as you know, right? Our conversations, I'm more comfortable with apartment buildings, even data centers, things like that in my past. So one of my business partners in one of the apartments, his name is Dean Halo, who's after me for years. I've known Dean now for almost a quarter of a century, dating myself a little bit. Dean built a house for me in Santa Monica, the turn of the century. So that gives you a little bit of, you know, a snapshot of how long we've known each other. But I told him we can do that. Let's build some houses. And of that, Soma became the jewel of that, you know, relationship. And, you know, as you say, big cojones, we went for it. It was a journey. We had a lot of pushback in the area. We had an association that at that time, you're talking about circa 2013 to 2015. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so we purchased the property in 2013, and it took us a few, you know, a couple of years to get a permit, as it should be, right? And we had some pushback from a local association because of the number of dirt trucks and cement trucks in the area at the time, you know, building some larger homes. And so we were the benefactor of, by that time, we had to build Soma with allowing one truck at a time to come up through Stone Canyon. So that was brutal, as you can imagine, because you've been to the house. It's a palace, but it's a beautiful home. And that's why we went from 2015. And it took us a year, year and a half to put all the caissons in first, right? So that was, you know, we have over 200 caissons here. You know, average depth is between almost 100 feet down. Mm. So you can imagine from, you know, digging down and, you know, concrete, rebar, steel, things like that took quite a long time. But timing's everything. We got our certificate of occupancy in June of 2020. So perfect timing, huh? So, yeah. So that happened. And so when you go through things like that, you get stronger, you get smarter, you get wiser. And that's what happened. So that's what happened. It took quite a long time because we were doing it one truck at a time.
That's so, I guess that's one of the things that I don't think people sort of can grasp at this point is that, you know, from a reference standpoint is that, you know, the caisson and the instant, there's no instant gratification in construction of a 41,000 square feet property, you know, size of this is, you know, like 12, you know, 18 months of just simply the foundation work that is into this property is clearly evident with one, the vantage point that it has, but two, is the, you know, the quality of construction that it just reeks of when you're in the property. I think that there's part of this process that I want to go back to though, because okay. you've got to start off with obviously plans, and you know the engineering side of any construction is probably the boring element that needs to happen. But from a design standpoint, this is a very unique property with the way that it has been designed. And that would have had to start very, very early on in the vision of all of this. So from an architectural standpoint, from a design standpoint of the floor plan and everything along those lines, how did those decisions get made? Because it really is effortlessly done with all the multiple levels, you know, each level having a theme. Amazing.
The way we flow. Yeah, that was super important to us, to your point, was we had two ideas in mind. The house needed to feel like a home, not a business park, right? Because we knew what we were dealing with and we knew what we were building. So it was important that the house felt like a home. And then we did some research, right? So we did some research and said, okay, what amenities are needed? What amenities are important today, in today's world? And we realized we had the perfect property with the perfect, I would say, envelope, right? Mm. And say, okay, what sells in Los Angeles? What can we do? And let's take a little, you know, a piece from all the top 20 homes that have sold in the past and make sure we have those amenities in the house. And let's add a few things, wrinkles that no one else really has. And that's what we did. So because it was important for us that you knew where you were in the house, because when people think of a 41,000 square foot home, they're thinking, whoa, that's just too big, right? So we needed to immediately eliminate that when you walked into the home. So just think of this real simply. Top floor is where you sleep, right? We're bookended by two beautiful master suites, right? In multiple bedrooms, everything's en suite. The entry floor, what we call the first floor, right, is where you live. You live there. We have multiple bars, right? We have a circle bar to greet, and we have a big giant entertainment room where you can go and hang out and party. Multiple kitchens, right? As you've seen the petrified wood, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so
that
line of questioning is coming. We're going to get to all of the little nuances that I want to point out here.
So that's where, not you and Callista, right? But what I mean by the pretty people, that's where the pretty people serve the food, right? So let's just say that. So you serve, you know, that's a pretty, but we have a real chef's kitchen designed by some of the top chefs in LA. And so that floor, that's the entry floor. But then we have the fun, right? You have the party floor, and the party floor is kind of special. You have a wine tasting room there. You have a club room. You have the outdoor pool. We call it the pool level, but I like to call it the party floor. You have a recording studio built out if you want to put one in there. You have a 30-plus theater. You've been in there. I know.
Absolutely.
And then we have 20, the wellness floor. What's that?
And that's what I was going to say, the 25-meter swimming pool inside, if the outdoor isn't enough, the lap pool is there. But that, I think that there's some foresight there, Ty. Like, again, I want to go through just some intricacies because, again, there's some things that I want to ask, you know, who had the foresight and how did you start to think of the design elements that were there? Because I think that when you were developing this, whilst wellness amongst athletes, you know, because this is a very athlete-based home, I think it could be. It can be anybody's because
We're all athletes and we're all weekend warriors, right?
That's right.
And in this town, everybody's an athlete, right? But anyway, go ahead.
No, but I think that the part that I was amazed with, the couple of things that you said, it doesn't feel like 41,000 square feet when you're in it. Don't get me wrong, if you reflect on each individual room and everything, yes, there's a lot of space there, but it definitely does feel like a home. But the wellness center that you guys created from an internal, I think there's a bit of foresight there because now it's all the thing, the cold plunging that people are doing, the hot, the steam rooms, the saunas, the lap pool itself. Like back in the design element of all of this, Ty, that wasn't as much of a thing as what it is ultimately at the moment.
No, it didn't exist back then, I could tell you that. And from what I know, what I understand, it doesn't exist today. Yeah. So, you know, we took our time. I mean, all I can say is the architecture team wanted to kill me, right? Because I kept going back, and eight times we changed the bottom two floors. Because I just said no, and for lack of a better phrase, I just said, not good enough. The steam room's not big enough. You know, this is not good enough, or the pool's not long enough, or on both sides of the basketball court, we actually need real NBA three-point lines on both sides. You know, the one thing that I noticed when we were doing that was I was in Dubai, and I was in a steam room. This hotel is one of the top hotels in Dubai. You know, I won't even mention how many floors it is because everybody will know where it is, which one it is. But when I was in the steam room, I almost felt like, I mean, I'm a kind of a chunky person, but you know, I mean, I almost felt like my shoulders could touch each side.
Oh, geez.
And that's not okay. Yep. And so when we did here, I mean, you could fit at least, you know, 6-7 people in our steam room easily. And I would just say it was more like a Vegas hotel, a boutique Vegas hotel in that area that really doesn't exist in Vegas or in Los Angeles, right? And I know that it really doesn't exist in the States because when you go to, let's say, the basketball court, right? Yep. If you guys Google the Robb Report in basketball, indoor basketball courts in the United States, if you look at that, it's filled with indoor basketball courts. I think the only one that was incomparable was in a apartment complex in New York City, right? Yeah. That you have to share with hundreds of people.
Yep.
Versus what we have. So based upon articles like that and real research that I can't do, you can't, I mean, these are third party. We know we have the best indoor basketball court in the entire United States. We know that. Right. So, but it's not you and I saying that, it's third party reports, which is great to your point. The thought process, we were meticulous on what we wanted to do. And we know because we see people's faces, and the most popular famous athletes in the world, when they've seen our home, a few of them have, and they're blown away. They're kind of speechless.
Well, I think that there's a part of this in the design element that you've got to have the end buyer in mind to an extent. But like, so for example, if I look at this and I look at it from a pure functionality perspective, is that it's a family home, but it could be somebody that's a movie director. It could be somebody that is an artist because of what that you've built out. Not only have you got the cinema, you've also got the, you know, the music studio that is fully equipped there in the sense of that somebody can customize it, but everything that you need is ultimately there. You've got the athlete element wellness. You've also got the wine connoisseur. You've got anything that because it's such a big home, it could automatically only encapsulate a certain audience. But I think that what this does better than anything that I've had the opportunity to be even remotely close to, from not only quality, size, you know, all of the opulence that is there, it actually caters to every single person. I don't know an audience that it doesn't.
That's very kind. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Agreed.
Like the car enthusiast, like how many cars can I fit there without it even being purposely built, like in the garage?
Right. So again, to your point, I can't even remember. And this is a house that we meticulously planned out. I can't remember all the amenities, right? I didn't even mention the 20-car garage.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much here. There's a lot. But
so,
yeah, I mean, that garage with the circadian rhythm lighting, you can do different colors. You can make your white car look purple when a certain friend comes over and they love purple. Not that Prince would walk through the door. anyway. Talk about that later. But my point is that the house has the amenities that people would want, people of now and in the future want, right? And we really did, I think, a really good job mapping out people of Los Angeles, people that want to come here, right? You mentioned athletes. This is a perfect home for a great athlete. It's the perfect home for a great athlete. And the good news for us, athletes just keep making more and more money.
Yeah, right? Agreed.
So that's pretty funny too. I think we're about to see our first $75 million a year player. He's in Denver right now, but you know, when he gets his contract, and I'm sure a Laker will surpass that soon.
Absolutely.
That's what I hope. But anyway, enough of that.
The thing I do want to focus on, just as I don't want to move away from the detail within the property just yet. There's a few things I just want to list off, and I want to talk. What you talk to me about the ones that you feel are the most important, but all of the screens in the home have been built by Samsung themselves and their team that came out. The same people who did the SoFi Stadium screen, if anyone's seen that, they've been purposely and customizably built in the property itself. Just stunning. The thing that the petrified wood in the kitchen was one real big feature for me that I really hadn't seen before, and you and I have seen a lot of homes, and that right there was one. But I really just enjoyed, my personal favorite was I enjoyed the master suite, okay, one of the master suites where it's got the bathtub looking out onto the view, but then it's got his and hers own separate bathrooms as well. And it just was a distinct, I guess, design element that really appealed to me. Because it catered to both sides, being male and the female, or whatever relationship it is that it was just really clearly and thoughtfully done the way that all of that progressed together. Right. Like not only the closet, but then the separate bathroom and the color schemes and the way that the men's bathroom was set up in the master suite, but then also the ladies' bathroom and also the fitting room. Everything, or the lighting and everything along those lines, was just clearly differently designed. It wasn't just, no, I'm just going to make this luxurious. No, you're going to make it purpose luxury. And that's the thing that I think was the real big difference for me upstairs.
Yeah, I mean, Bregan really came through there. That's Bregan Jane. That was her touch. You mentioned on two things that she played a big role in. You know, She picked a few things that were, I would just say, cost a little bit more money than usual, right? We won't go into how much the petrified wood cost in the show kitchen because that's another story for another day. But if you go to the West Master and what you just described, you know, all of that stone that we, you know, the what happened there was I actually went to Verona, Italy first.
Right.
And I had all these stones in my head, and then I let Bregan know. And she said, no, I'm going there next month to really hone down, and we'll figure out what we're buying then. And I think what happened there is we had first of all, we had the space to do it.
Yep.
Right. That master suite is around 2,500 square feet. That's a pretty big bedroom. Right.
That's a massive bedroom.
Scale it back down to what you have there with his and hers and, you know, significant others. But it's a beautiful sized bedroom, and everything is in there that whatever you would need. And I agree with you because that is the bedroom that people walk in and just go, okay, this is where I'll be, right? When people walk in, they go throughout the house, but try to start upstairs so they can see where they would go to sleep or sleep. As far as the walls, we didn't even mention those.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about the garage, right? Totally forgot about the four Samsung walls. And the one thing that you failed to remember, because I must not have told you, the people at SoFi, when they were doing what they call it, I think they call it Oculus, whatever. That thing is so big, right? Our home was considered a field trip, right? If you did a great job, you could go to the Bel Air house where we were putting up the signs, the TVs there. And we have them. We have one at the basketball court. We have one that overlooks the entertainment bar downstairs. We also have one on the pool deck. And, of course, we have one in the entertainment room. So, the house, we have what you need. It's here.
Yeah. Well, there's one final element that I want to just focus on before we move on to the process that we're using to sell the property. Is when you're dealing at this price point, and this is a significant price point that is you know, like there's, again, this will be one of the more significant sales within all of LA this year, we hope. And when you're dealing at that price point, you've got to take into consideration privacy to another level that I'd never even considered. I've got to be honest, is that a great deal. I've sold some expensive properties, nowhere near as expensive as this property will be. But the part of that that I like, everyone's always like, oh, it's private, whatever, it's just an offhanded comment. But you've got to take privacy into consideration at these levels for celebrities more than I've ever seen. And that was something by not only the ability to be able to drive into the property and nobody actually know that you're there, but also the ability to then to have a separate entrance where it's a complete private entrance as well. I guess that how did you make, like, all I'm saying is there's so many different things that need to be thought about when doing a property at this magnitude. How was privacy like brought into the equation of the design?
The most important thing was we wanted, no matter who you were, if you wanted to bring a guest, right? Because in this town, we know there's a lot of, business owners, Fortune 50 owners that live in this town. And of course, there's celebrities that you mentioned. But if you are a money manager or something along those lines, and your clients, you have three or four of the top clients in the world, and they come over all the time, you want to be able to afford them. You know, it could be the president of the United States. If they show up, they can just, you know, you want them to have the ability to be driven in, dropped off, and nobody would even know they're on the property.
Yeah.
And we wanted to accomplish that, and we did because you've been here. We did nail that. You know, we did that. And that was really important. But because of our location on the street, you really, when you're in the house, nobody can see you when you're here. You can't see in. No matter whatever angle you're at, you cannot see inside to the house. You can't see it.
Yeah. And I think that that's something that I believe that, if the property was not as private as it is, Ty, I think that it would be a significant hit to the value of the home because it would take out a complete element of the marketplace. So again, credit to you guys in the development of it, credit to you guys in the design. I think that anybody that's listening to this podcast, they definitely need to just jump on and actually have a look at it because it's just, it's something that you just is jaw dropping. Let's talk about now the process of where you've been and where we're going is that, you know, you're a decorated developer, you're a decorated real estate person within LA, and you know, it's a pleasure to have you amongst the Harcourts community now. But part of that was we got sort of brought together because of our non-distressed auction process, our Harcourts auction process that we use. And Ty, the thing that is a big compliment for us is that the volume that you and the partnership and the stakeholders went through, the volume of presentations from other auction companies in the country that deal in this very, very high-end auction real estate, whereas we like to think that we deal in everything, you know, maybe to the detrimental view of some, but I believe that it's the nature of auction. It's not about what it is. It's more about the process itself to actually give the snapshot. It's not the promise of a price. It's a process to find value. And how can you ever put a value on something like this? It's just too hard. So can you walk us through how you started thinking of auction in the first place, even before we met?
Yeah, we've been thinking about auction for, I wanted to say a year and a half, but it's almost been 2 years. And as we went through that process and we did, you know, some initial discovery on our own, we did not interview folks, but we just said, okay, we're going to keep this to the side. The thing that I think, and I know, I don't even think I know, what turned us off the most was it just seemed that when people would look at auction, right, they would think of distressed, foreclosure, government owned. I mean, it was just, you know, just amongst my friends, and I would go, okay, I would take that in. We would take that into consideration. And it wasn't just myself. It was, you know, the group we were making decisions as more of a consensus. So when you do that and you listen to outside, and I almost call it noise, you kind of slow yourself down and you don't learn, right? And so as we went through the process, we said, okay, let's really go and look at auction. And so we did that. And I will not name names here, right, at all. But, you know, there are players, there are groups out there who think they're long-term players, but they're really not, right? And so that's where we have to come in and go, okay, let's use some common sense here. You know, you educated us a lot. You know, you educated Jerry and I quite a bit because it was important for us to sit down and really listen, right? Check our egos at the door, be humble and listen. And by doing that and looking through how each group does business, every company, how they do it, you know, their process, you brought process to our thought process a lot. And the thing that stood out, right, for you, Ben, was that the one thing that we really gravitated towards was the ease of business. That was the first part, right? Whether that be talking to you and your team, whether it was the contract piece, the thing that stood out to me was your willingness to show you showing Jerry and I your process. Okay. Yep. You did that over and over again. And on top of that, which was two things that appealed to us. One, you were non-distressed. You were focused on non-distressed because we're not distressed. And we're like, well, I believe most of the people will not be.
Yep.
But auction, people believe it's just distress. The second thing was the seller will carry the traditional commission piece, right? And so one of a business partner of Jerry's, we went outside of just of us, right? We went outside of the group for feedback and we said, okay, if you were in this process, what would happen? What would you think? Right? These are very, very smart people, right?
Yeah.
Much smarter than I am. And, you know, okay, and then this one. And so we put Harcourt's was on the board, right? We put it on the board. And the feedback that we got was that even though there could be, you might want to do it a different way, at the end of the day, we're in our air, in our what I'll call our rarefied air, everyone's very sophisticated. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're talking about people worth hundreds of millions of dollars, right? In many cases, billionaires. And with their team, with their money managers, with their attorneys, they map out already what the cost will be overall to them. So when we took that back and listened to you, listened to the others, and then listened to the feedback we had from our business partners in other areas of business, right? Not necessarily real estate, not necessarily real estate development, but just general business partners. And their feedback was not only sound, it was priceless because it took us out of the emotional state, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And based upon that, we were able to think a lot clearer and go, you know what? Without question, Harcourt's is the best fit for not only us, but we think for a lot of other areas we can go into. So that's why we chose you. Right. Not just a partner, merge, whatever words you want to use. It was an obvious choice. And that was a long-winded answer to your question.
No. No, that's it. Do you know what? Hey, look, at the end of the day, we're definitely trying to endorse what we do here. We're right. Definitely trying. There's no better endorsement to not only then putting a property of this magnitude through our process, but also Ty Harcourt's Westside in Santa Monica is now your office, based on, you know, you had Westside Property Group for so long and it's been your real estate business and right. The way that you've sort of cut your teeth in the real estate marketplace in LA, you've got so much family in LA, you're born and bred LA, you know, that's one of the things that we're really excited for this partnership right. As we move through. Not only are we launching this property and going through auction, we're launching your platform being Harcourt's Westside. And I want to talk a little bit about that.
Pretty old.
I want to talk about that. You know, you've been around a long while then, if I get to say that, okay. You've been around a long while in the real estate community in LA. Tell us what you're excited about for the future and what does Harcourt's Westside look like for you and right. Why is it at this stage of your life that you want to jump back in? Is auction got you that excited?
Yes, it does, because I think we're going to bring something different, something that I think not just our community, but I think overall, it's something that's missing, right? A choice, bringing a different thought process to selling your property, right? And just the results piece of it, right? You look at it and you go, wow, okay, you sell a home traditionally in our country, really North America, right? Mexico, Canada, we're in the middle, right? I feel like there's something missing. There's something that's not there, something that people just don't think about. I brought this up to one of my best friends on the planet I've known since I was 12. So let's just say that's a few decades, right? More than a few decades. And he says, whoa, why are you doing that? And I explained to him what you taught me. I explained to him in 3 minutes. And he said, this is literally 3 days ago. And he said, wow, that makes a lot of sense. I said, right? It definitely does. And so when you walk and you educate people to the process, you always talk about the process. And when you educate very smart people and they use their own brain, right? They use, and I'm going to misquote this, right? I'm going to tell you that right now because I'm paraphrasing, but you know, university's job, I don't know if it was Thomas Jefferson or somebody said this a long time ago. You show your students how to think, not what to think, right? And so when you do that, and these are just my friends that have known me forever, and I walk them through the process, they all take a step back and they start to think. And so when you do that and you bring something new to the table, there's going to be some pushback, but the more, and we've waited, right? We've waited a long time. When I say a long time, it's a year or more. And so when we show this to our friends and family, some of them uber successful, they all come back with the same conclusion. You should do that. That's the way to do it. Because it's open, it's a fair environment. It's transparent. So that's what we're doing. And that's why we're doing it. So again, another long answer, you know, long-winded answer. I'll be quiet now. Sorry.
I don't know how else to end the podcast, mate, any better than that. So Ty, I'm really looking forward to not only the journey of going on the marketplace here shortly with Soma Way and certainly getting to, you know, showcase that property. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's only just one of the things that I think that we'll do together, as we have a long journey together now with the Harcourts community and our auction process together. So mate, we're humbled to have you on the team and humbled for the opportunity, and thanks so much. And congratulations to what you've developed there and your full success already.
Thank you very much, Ben. We're humble. We're very lucky to have you, and you're our fearless leader. So thank you.
Thanks, mate. So about 75% of our audience hasn't liked, followed, or subscribed to our podcast. It would mean the world to us, and it would help this podcast more than you know to expand our reach if you were to like, follow, or subscribe on any of the platforms that you're watching or listening on. Thanks again.